At the end of the year, the upstate minimum wage is going up 70 cents to $13.20 an hour, while the minimum wage in the New York City suburbs will increase $1 to $15 an hour, matching the New York City minimum wage. Both actions are being implemented as a result of recommendations from the State Division of the Budget, which was empowered by state lawmakers and then Governor Andrew Cuomo back in 2016 to essentially approve a path to a $15 an hour minimum wage for the entire state. For more on the recent increases and what's potentially next for upstate New York, we're joined by Robert Mujica, the governor's budget director and potentially the smartest mind in Planet Albany. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. I don't know about that, but yes, I am the budget director.
And the latter could be true as well. So I touched on your mandate in the introduction, but can you expand a little bit on what state law required of the DOB in early October?
Sure. The state was broken up into three regions for the purposes of the minimum wage. There was the New York City region, there was Long Island and Westchester region, and then there was the rest of the state upstate. So what the minimum wage is fully phased in with statutory increases, increments for New York City. For Long Island, what the statute says is it would go up basically a dollar a year. So it would go from $14 to $15 beginning in January of 22, unless the Division of Budget or the Department of Labor working together concluded that the economy would not support the increase. So you could pause the minimum wage as it related to the Long Island Westchester region. And for upstate, the statutory increases stopped at $12.50. The statute specifically then said beyond $12.50 going to $15 would be based on an analysis by the Division of Budget working with the Department of Labor of what should be the increase and what it should be based on. So what are the economic factors that an increase would be based on? So what would be the size of the increase, if any, to get to 15, and what the economy could support? So this year, the $1 would go into effect in January for the Westchester, because we did not see evidence that would support pausing the statutory increase. And for the upstate region, the conclusion of the division's analysis was that the upstate economy could continue an increase of 70 cents going up to 1320 in January of 22.
So with the New York City suburbs specifically, it sounds like your role was essentially to give a thumbs up or thumbs down then to the $1 increase, and there wasn't wiggle room for your office, the department, or the Department of Labor to say, well, maybe not a dollar, but 50 cents might be the right amount. It seems like it's more the former was what you were enabled to do.
That's right. It was just $1 was in the statute, and either it was going to be a no, it doesn't go into effect, or let it go into effect. So that was, it's much more limited, the division's role there. And if you look at the Long Island region, actually they're in the same metropolitan statistical area as New York City. So they have very similar, if not higher, actually, cost of living in those areas. So a lot of the factors were similar. I think they broke up the regions at the time of the original statutory enactment because it was unclear what the impacts would be. But now that we are multiple years from when the statute's enactment, they do track a lot better than we anticipated before.
Do you think it was broken up because of the geographic differences, or because at the time it was represented by, I think, 8 or 9 Long Island Republicans who might have been a little uncomfortable with the speed of the minimum wage increases that were planned for New York City and maybe wanted something slightly slower scale?
I think there's probably some political differences on how quickly you should get to 15, mm-hmm. not whether you should,
yeah.
which I think is why you see that it both regions go to 15, right? So I think it was a clear consensus that you should get to 15, But I think you're right. There was a political disagreement as to how fast you get to 15. So that's where the differences are. And then I think that is why the Division of Budget was put in the role of determining, is there a negative economic impact that you could should put a pause? And again, we did not see that, and that's why there was no pause.
When it comes to assessing the economic landscape and making this decision, what is the data that you relied on, and what sort of metrics were most important to your decision-making process?
Now, COVID obviously impacts, right? So the minimum wage increase is happening, you know, in the backdrop of the impact of the COVID pandemic. So we were looking at evidence that would show that the wage or the cost of wages are negatively impacting unemployment or negatively impacting the economy. What we found, so we're looking at evidence, so what are the unemployment figures, what are inflation figures, what does productivity look like. The concept of increasing the wage was, and indexing it over years, you want the minimum wage workers to be able to afford the same goods they could over multiple years. So you had over time, minimum wage stay stagnant while inflation increased. So the minimum wage workers or the minimum wage rate actually decreased over time. So the concept was, let's increase the wage to keep up with inflation. We also wanted to add in productivity. You know, as workers increase productivity, their buying power should increase at least marginally. So that was also included. What we found as a result of the pandemic was, one, that minimum wage workers were the most impacted group in the pandemic in terms of job loss, with specific sectors being the low wage sectors that were most impacted. Retail, trade, healthcare, social services, leisure and hospitality, which includes hotels and travel. So those are the low wage industries. They were impacted the most. And as we look for the recovery, okay, well, are the wages hampering the recovery? What we see is the opposite. So what we're seeing now is the recovery is happening slower on the low wage, in the low wage jobs. Well, why? Is it a result of the wages? What we're actually seeing is a return of labor shortages in those areas. The number of job postings that we're seeing amongst low wage positions are at record highs. So we're talking about 75% downstate, 95% upstate above pre-pandemic levels for job openings or job postings based on the data we're looking at. So you look just in upstate, again, the job postings now are about 95% higher than they were in March of 2020, right before the pandemic. And we're seeing anecdotal evidence which shows that the wages are actually going up. So even in those areas which are the low-wage sectors, wages are higher than the minimum wage currently. So across upstate, you'll see in the retail sector, in the hospitality sector, restaurants, fast food work was already at 15. But in those other sectors I just mentioned, they're already paying well above the $12.50 because they need to in order to attract wages. There's a concept called reservation wage, which is at what wage would people return to work? And what we've seen in the pandemic, you know, you've heard the great resignation, these terms. What we've seen is that people in these lower wage jobs are now requiring higher wages in order to return to work. We see in the retail sector, what's happening there is a trend, is a continuation of a trend that was pre-pandemic. The pandemic accelerated it. Online shopping, less in-store shopping. So the impact for those stores and those establishments is not necessarily related to the wage costs, right? It's related to a larger shift to online sales. The replacement jobs for many of those are the warehouse jobs, right, that are supporting the online sale industry. And in those jobs, if you look across upstate, they're offering $15-$16 minimum wage, well above the $12.50, and they're offering thousands of dollars in bonuses to get hired. So that is what we're seeing. So what we were seeing was wages that are consistently above the minimum wage across the state and hiring bonuses and labor shortages. So there was not evidence that showed that the wages were a contributing factor to some of the economic issues that we've seen as a result of COVID.
So do you think then by increasing the minimum wage, even if we're seeing more and more employees around the state are starting at a salary above the existing minimum wage, that this could still set sort of a new baseline? And, you know, instead of people saying, yeah, I want to start at $15 an hour, that in upstate New York, they'll look around and say, well, it's now $13.20. I want to start at $16 an hour. Do you anticipate that kind of, I guess, trickle-up effect?
Yeah, so it's there are a lot of changes that all economists and people that study these things are looking at right now as to what exactly is going on. But in terms of the minimum wage specifically, in terms of in New York, the answer is yes. Sometimes what you're seeing is that those that have options have the ability to take the higher wage jobs. The fewer options you have, the less likely you are. Among the minimum wage workers, you're overrepresented. You have women with children, and minorities and young people overrepresented in the low wage workforce. So there too, and sometimes marginalized populations that don't have other options are getting paid the lowest of wages because, and also there's, you know, other negative things that happen in the workforce that are occurring to them because they don't have other options. So when we looked at downstate and we wanted to increase the wage, the legislature decided to increase the wage to $15. The reason upstate was disconnected is because you wanted to see, is upstate different in the fact that they cannot support this higher wage? We have not seen that. So, and we've seen, and we know the fact that fast food workers in upstate region are getting paid $15 and have been for 2 years. So that's being supported, and that's also driving wages in some of these other sectors. So the short answer to your question is yes. We think that by raising the minimum wage, you have more people who will be earning enough to make a living, right, and earning enough so that they're not reliant on other means of government support. And they have a path, right, to making higher wages. And we're not seeing that doing that and going from $12.50 to $13.20 is not going to adversely impact it, right? The worst thing you want to do is, right, create a wage structure that's going to result in less jobs, right, and less people being able to work because businesses can't afford it. The evidence is not showing that that is the case presently, and that's why we feel comfortable continuing along on an increase.
For a couple of years now, the upstate minimum wage has been increasing 70 cents every year. So am I being too conspiratorial when I look at the work that you and your team did and all the analysis that you did and came up with another 70 cents increase, and, you know, which could be viewed as just a continuation of the trend? Or should I take off my tinfoil hat and just, you know, trust the analysis you did that goes way over my head?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of factors that that increase the wage, and we could have gone higher or lower. We saw that the 70 cents was, you know, supported, and that was the statutory increase. This is the first year that there isn't a statutory number, so it was purely based on the analysis. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the inflation itself, so just purely look at inflation, right? It drives a certain number. Which is lower than the 1320. But then we also wanted to look at productivity because, you know, as productivity increases, right, the what it means is that, you know, an hour of work produces more and benefits more. We wanted the low-income workers to also benefit from that. So as an hour of their wage produces more for the overall sectors, they get some benefit. When you add that in, you get to the 70 cents. Now, you could get to different numbers if you wanted to average that out over multiple years. So if you were to smooth it over a five-year period, the number would be lower. If you were to smooth it out over a seven-year period, over only 1 or 2 year period, the numbers would be higher or lower. So there are some variables that would get you to different numbers, but they're all around the 70 cents. So there's always going to be, right, some discretion in that, in those numbers. But the if you look at independently, look at the data, and we've made it available, you'll see that, you know, you like said, there are some choices that are made, but you're around that 70 cent number.
And finally, in addition to having a dramatically different situation with regards to the pandemic compared now and last year when you had a report, I think, that came out in December, were there any other differences in this year's process from last year's process? And I ask that with the framing of the fact that we had Governor Andrew Cuomo last year and Governor Kathy Hochul this year.
So the analysis is the same. We were, because the mission was the same. The statute hasn't changed, right? The mission is the same. This is the first time that we had to come up with a number as opposed to just yes or no on a prescribed statutory increase number. But what was different, the pandemic required us to be very cautious. You know, on its face, you would say you're in a pandemic, we're in an environment where the economy is fragile, maybe you shouldn't do a minimum wage increase. But then when you do the analysis and you see where the economy has grown, where it's impacted, where the missing jobs are, and where the workforce is returning, you come up with a very different conclusion than what you would, you know, see, just what you would think. And I think that was what was helpful. I think the teams from both the Division of Budget and the Department of Labor working together. And we also used the Federal Reserve's assistance in looking at some of the data sources. And then we went out and you know, talked to some of the business community just to see what was going on. And when you see, and I think you can drive around New York State, I do, or drive around upstate, you see the signs in retail stores, and you see the signs in, you know, in stores and in shopping malls and strip malls with looking for workers, looking and paying much higher wages than the $12.50. So I think the analysis was the same. Governor Hochul directed me specifically to, you know, let's look at the analysis, whatever it says, you know, we'll go with that. And I think that, you know, we landed in the right place. But again, what was different was we were much more cautious to review what we were doing in terms of the impact of the pandemic, because we didn't want to do anything that would make things worse.
Well, we've been speaking with Rob Mujica. He's the governor's budget director and the Human State Government Encyclopedia. Rob, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.